I'm Paul Wiegraf, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts and your host for today. Joining us by phone today is a very special guest who was born in Wilmington, raised in Wilmington, but has since gone off to both national and international acclaim through his Tony Award-winning performance in Spring Awakening on Broadway, as well as some great film and TV work, including Aaron Sorkin's The Newsroom. Johnny Gallagher, it is great to have you joining us by phone today.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Now, while I just spouted off a number of your theater and film and TV credits, we're really here to talk today largely about your coming back to Wilmington in a performance genre that some people may not be aware of your being so engaged in, and that is the realm of music. Let's talk
Correct.
About your upcoming appearance at the Queen Theater on Friday, January 22nd, and what precipitates that visit.
Sure. Well, I'm after years of threatening to do so, I'm finally putting out my first record of my own original music. It's called 6 Day Hurricane, and it comes out on January 15th. It'll be available on all the necessary digital outlets, iTunes, and Amazon. And I'll also be selling physical copies at the concert. It's something that I've really wanted to do for a long time. I grew up around a lot of music. My parents, who both still live in Delaware, play music and expose me to it at an early age, and so I've been writing music and playing music since I was a teenager. And so as soon as I figured out that I was going to be able to put the album out this winter, one of my first thoughts, of course, was, you know, I have to go do a show back home and see family and see friends and share the music with them. And so that's really how I got in touch with the Queen and, you know, checked to see if they had a date available, and it all worked out rather perfectly. So I can't wait to get home and share the record with everyone and share the live music with everyone as well.
Now, can you talk a little bit about the kind of training, the experience you had in music growing up? Like you say, your parents are well-known folk musicians. Was your training informal? Was it through them? Or, you know, what did that look like?
It was kind of a big mix in the sense that you know, we were encouraged to sing from an early age, whether we knew it or not, just from being around so many campfires at the Philadelphia Folk Festival or going to different folk concerts in and around Delaware. And I started figuring out how to sing harmonies basically just by going on road trips with my parents and singing along to Jackson Brown records on the radio. And then I started doing theater in Delaware. I started doing, you know, plays and performances at the Wilmington Drama League and the Delaware Children's Theater. And so that really helped me as well, being able to, it was almost like being in a choir, but in a more collaborative sense, doing those shows. That helped me learn a little bit more about singing, a little bit about different kinds of music. And so it was, there wasn't any really kind of staunch kind of specific professional training in there, but it was just kind of working with a lot of different styles and having a lot of different unofficial teachers, and then playing in bands too. I remember forming my first few bands in Wilmington and playing with other musicians, and everybody that you play with or you sing with or you collaborate with, whether you realize it or not at the time, does end up becoming a teacher. So everybody in that spectrum ended up teaching me so much about music. And then, of course, getting to New York and being on Broadway. And, you know, I've never been able to read music and sadly still can't to this day. But I learned a lot from working with different vocal coaches and musical directors and performers and people in New York. And so it's been just kind of a years and years of a learning process that's gotten me really involved in music in the way that I am.
So it really has been an experiential learning.
Definitely. A lot of hands-on, a lot of trials by fire.
Now, in your upcoming album, 6 Day Hurricane, how would you characterize the style of music represented?
Yeah, well, the music is a little bit all over the map, but I think still does achieve some cohesiveness in the process. It's nine songs, and it covers a couple of different genres, but really it stays pretty rooted in a kind of Americana, kind of rock and roll vernacular. There are elements of the record that kind of sound like a Laurel Canyon record, like some of those Asylum recordings that Jackson Brown was doing in the 70s, and there's a kind of a Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers influence on there. But there's also a little bit of a heavier rock and roll influence from just, you know, times that I spent playing in louder rock bands in my history. And then there's some really soft moments on there too. So it covers kind of a large canvas, but all the while staying rooted in kind of a folk rock and roll kind of sentiment.
Now, I understand one of the songs on the album is also going to be released as a single. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a couple songs that are actually available right now. If you go to Amazon.com and look up the record, Johnny Gallagher, 6 Day Hurricane, you can get two different tracks off of the album, and you can pre-order the album as well. And there's a song you can get on iTunes as well. And then there's a few other tunes that are available. If you go to pastemagazine.com and look it up, there's a song called Dangerous Strangers that you can stream on there as well. So there's a few songs out there that you can check out in advance of the release.
Great. You sort of touched on some of the influences on your music. Any elaboration on that? Particular musicians that you've sort of followed during your career?
Oh yeah, there's stuff that, you know, that I've been listening to for a long time that I still listen to almost every day. John Prine and Bruce Springsteen and Jackson Brown and Tom Petty. Of course, everybody that I know that wants to pick up a guitar and start singing songs listens to a lot of Bob Dylan, a lot of the Beatles, and that was certainly stuff that I got into from an early age. I actually spent a part of my morning a couple of weeks ago on the phone trying to score Springsteen tickets up here in New York, but it was a fleeting and failed experiment on my behalf trying to navigate Ticketmaster's website. But you know, my parents raised me on Joni Mitchell and James Taylor and the Band and Bob Dylan and a lot of really great music. And so my goal for my first record was to kind of try and take all of that stuff that I love so dearly and kind of filter it through to make something of my own.
Now, do you perform solo or with other musicians?
I do both, but for the show at the Queen, I'll be bringing a band through. It's the band that I made the record with. A really great group of musicians, and my friend Tad, who plays guitar with me, also produced the record for me.
That's great. Talk a little bit about the logistics of lining this up at the Queen Theater. How did those connections work?
Yeah, well, I had played at the Queen in 2011. I played a solo acoustic show there of some of my music, and it was before I had an album or anything. But then I had come home, and my parents had played there a few times, and actually in October, I was just there. I got up and did a couple John Prine songs for a John Prine tribute night that they did there. And so I had been familiar with some of the people that worked at the Queen, but you know, I set my sights on the bigger room downstairs because I really wanted to bring my band through town when the record came out. And so I got in touch with them and asked if they'd be interested, and thankfully they were interested in doing something together. And we found a date that worked well, and it just so happened it was right after the release of the record. So it all came together pretty quickly and pretty organically. I'm really excited about it.
And how frequently do you come back to the Wilmington area?
Yeah, I come back as often as I can. Living in New York, it makes it pretty easy, which is nice. It's a quick shot down on Amtrak or if I rent a car. I was actually just back for the holidays. I came back for Thanksgiving and hung out with my family. And then we went down to Rehoboth Beach for Christmas and hung out there with some of my family down there as well. So I get back if I can, depending on my schedule, try to get back a few times a year.
Now, I read somewhere, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I read somewhere that with all of the success you've had in theater and film and television, that music is your real passion.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. I mean, I certainly love whatever I can get my hands on artistically is stuff that I really, really enjoy and love and I'm very passionate about. But the fact that the music, it really goes back to my upbringing very directly. And so music just feels like family to me. It feels like home. I think the fact that the first people that I ever heard playing music were my parents, there's just something that's really kind of deeply rooted in my DNA. And it feels like a much more personal relationship with an audience because it is coming directly from me. When you're doing acting, that's really wonderful as well. But it's really a filtered process, so it's a bit diluted. And I love that about the collaboration. You're usually saying somebody else's words. You're being directed by someone else. And then by the time it gets out to an audience, it's been edited and all these things have happened. But the music is really, it feels really pure to me because I write all the music and I write all the lyrics myself. And so by the time it gets to the audience, it still very much feels like a good representation of me.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you really don't read music. So as you're composing music, how do you write that down, or does someone transcribe it for you or as you're playing it, or how does that work?
Yeah, depending on how it's going, the musicians that I play with are all much more are far more scholarly than I am in my approach. And so, you know, they are a great resource to me at times. You know, things that I don't really realize that I'm even doing or I'm writing, they can kind of put into words to me what I've actually written. But as far as the solo process goes, it's usually just me and a guitar with a notebook and my phone, recording all of it on my phone or my computer as I go along so that I don't forget it, because I often will. If I try to write something without recording it, I'll walk around the corner and get a coffee, and by the time I come back, I've totally forgotten it. So I have to keep a record of all of the stuff that I'm working on. But it comes and goes, and, you know, sometimes I'll have a riff or a guitar part or a chorus or a melody or something for months and months before putting it together. And then other times, you sit down and I'll write the whole song in about 7 to 10 minutes. So it's kind of elusive and inconsistent the way that it all happens. But the constant is that it's usually just kind of me sitting down, finding the time alone to get into the song.
Well, this is really exciting, and there's so many more questions I want to ask. But if you'll indulge me, let me remind our listeners that you're tuned into 1450 WILM News Radio and News Radio 1410 WDOV. For Delaware State of the Arts. Our guest today is joining us by phone, Johnny Gallagher, born here and raised here in Wilmington, but now living in New York and pursuing a very active and successful performing arts career. Johnny, I'm curious. I sort of see you in that world of some other very well-known entertainers who have both film and theater careers as well as music. I'm thinking of Steve Martin is certainly an accomplished musician, and Kevin Bacon is well known for his film work and his band. Could you talk a little bit about balancing? I mean, clearly an incredibly creative career. Could you talk about that balance between the various genres of performance?
Yes, certainly. I mean, they're all very important to me on a personal level. I find that a lot of times, whatever I'm working on as an actor will usually actually influence whatever it is that I'm working on as a songwriter. Even if I won't get a chance to perform any music for a while, because usually if you go into the run of a play or the filming of a movie or the filming of a TV series, it's a lot of work and it's very, very hard to kind of get out and find any free time for yourself. But I always do try to make sure that whatever I'm doing, that I can bring my guitar with me and bring a couple notebooks and just be able to kind of keep that through line open to channel whatever it is that I'm channeling and make some music out of it. And then, of course, there's the logistic aspect, which is, you know, figuring out schedules and stuff. That's the part that's a little trickier, a little more detailed, a little bit more monotonous and can be kind of frustrated. But, you know, I have a really great group of people that I work with as representatives for my acting, and luckily they are really into the fact that I write music and that I play music, and they're supportive of that. So I just try to keep everybody in the loop about what's happening, what I'm doing, where I am at any given moment, like I'm working on a film or I'm going to be over here working on my record. And thankfully, I have a group of people that understand that I have all those interests. But it's great. I don't think that I could do one in a lot of ways. You know, I don't know that I could do one without the other. Because when I go off to pursue an acting project, it's usually after I've had a little bit of a break where I can play some music, and that's a little bit of a battery recharge. And so that usually sends me into an acting project with a new kind of energy and having a new kind of lease on life. And then vice versa, if I work on an acting project for a really long time and it ends, one of the first things I want to do is throw myself into the music. And so there is that duality, a bit of a yin and yang kind of situation that keeps me active in both. So they really support each other, I would say.
Now, in your composing, are you one for whom the words come first or the music comes first? Or
it happens both ways. There are times where I'll have like a piece of music that I really, really love, and I'll keep trying different lyrics, and none of them will really just feel right, and then eventually something will land that suddenly matches it. And then other times I'll have a phrase in my head or a chorus, some lyrics in my head that I'll just have kind of in a notebook until I find a piece of music that fits it. And so I'd say it's a bit of a 50-50, that sometimes the music comes first and sometimes the lyrics come first.
So for this debut album, Six Day Hurricane, were all these songs composed with the intent of making them an album, or did they sort of just come together serendipitously?
Well, kind of a little bit of both. All of the songs on the record had been written. The newest song on the record had only been written, I would say, maybe less than a year before we recorded it. And then other songs on the record had been written 6-7 years ago prior to the recording. I always knew that I wanted to record the music, but I had just kind of started writing and hoarding all of these songs for live performance or for just kind of my own kind of keepsakes. But when it came time to record, basically my producer, Tad DeBrock, who also plays on the record and is a good friend of mine, he was very influential in the sense that we had a concert that we had done, and we learned 10 songs for that concert, basically. And rather than going through my list of songs, which at that point had hit up to about 50 songs, original songs that we were going to have to cull through, we just picked the songs that we learned for the concert, and we said, that's going to be the record. So we just went into the studio, and we laid down those songs. And it was a bit of a gamble because we didn't know if they would work together as one piece of music. And we got incredibly lucky in the sense that we put together this record that actually does work as an album, despite the fact that the songs were actually chosen rather randomly.
Now, could you speak a little bit about the time frame of putting together this album, getting the musicians together that you wanted to use to rehearse, to record?
Yeah, it happened really quickly. I was on a break in between filming the first season and the second season of The Newsroom for HBO. And I was back home in New York for a bit of a limited time frame, and I really had a small amount of time to get this record together. And so I called upon musicians that I had played this concert with over the summer, and they were friends of mine that had been brought together really by my producer, Tad. They're musicians that he knew, drummer named Brian Delaney, who played for the New York Dolls, and an amazing bass player named Conrad Korsch, who plays with Rod Stewart most of the time. And we grabbed those guys and we went into the studio, and we only had 7 or 8 days to record before I had to go back to L.A. to start The Newsroom. And then while we were recording it, Hurricane Sandy hit the East Coast. And that, obviously it really wreaked a lot of havoc on the East Coast. And least of all of the havoc that it kind of brought was the fact that it kind of altered our schedule of recording. So we only got the recording done in 6 days. Did it really, really fast, and then I flew off to L.A., but then I got tied up with work over the next couple of years, and so that's why the album is just now coming out, despite the fact that it's actually been recorded for about 3 years. So the timeline is a little weird for the way that it all came together, but something about it feels just kind of right, that it's had a little bit of time to gestate and to kind of sink in, and we've had a lot of time to get to know the album, and so now we really feel confident and ready to share it with the world.
And is your upcoming appearance at the Queen Theater intended to actually present some of those selections from the album?
Oh, definitely, yeah. We'll be playing many of the tracks, if not all of them.
Great, great. I'm curious, we have just a few minutes left. Given your varied career, would you be willing to share sort of some of the opportunities that you've had that have really opened doors for you? There's so many people in young people in the performing arts that, are looking for the big break or the opportunity. And could you speak to some of your experiences that you really sort of identify as milestones for you?
Sure. Definitely there early on, I think a great thing to look for, and sometimes you can't even look for it because you don't know that it's happening, is someone to kind of link up with creatively and professionally. And for me, that happened when I was a teenager. I met a playwright named David Lindsay Baer, who saw me in a play and really took to my style of acting, and I ended up doing three of his plays from the ages of 16 to the ages of to the age of 21. And he really is the man responsible really for why I moved to New York to do one of his plays, and I ended up staying in New York, and that was very life-changing. And then certainly doing Spring Awakening on Broadway, which is something that I kind of stumbled into as an actor. I went on an audition along with hundreds and hundreds of other young actors in New York City that were trying to get involved with that show. And I got really lucky. I didn't have any formal training or anything. I just went in with my guitar and sang some songs. But doing that show opened up this whole other world of getting to know people in New York City and being out on a stage every night. And certainly just that getting over those first kind of few years of moving to New York and trying to stay busy and trying to stay creative. You meet people along the way, and if you have that kind of special collaborative, creative, professional relationship, then it's contagious from that point on, and that opens a bunch of other doors, and you meet people that they know, and then that goes from one place to the next. And so that was those were huge, meeting David and coming to New York and then getting involved in Spring Awakening. That really kind of ended up coloring the way that the next few years would go for me, and it really has led me to this point.
Well, again, I'm incredibly impressed at what an amazing career you've had in a so far relatively short life. And I know many in the Wilmington area who know you and know your family are so proud of the work that you're doing. It's Johnny, it's really been a pleasure having you join us today on the radio show. And we look forward to your upcoming appearance at the Queen Theater on Friday, January 22nd to premiere your debut album, 6 Day Hurricane. Johnny, thanks so much for joining us. It's really been a delight.
Oh, likewise. Thank you for having me.